KLYT Broadcast Studios. This is ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
ABQ Connect would like to thank Essenmacher Family Dental for their support of KLYT, with services including children's dentistry, preventive dentistry, and more. Their new Albuquerque office is located at 8310 Palomas Avenue Northeast, Suite C, 505-372-0086, or online at essenmacherdental.com. Dr. Brian Nixon, he oversees education and publishing for Calvary Church, is in the studio. Hi, Brian.
Well, hi, Jim. It's great to be with you again. I think I was just with you. Was it last week or
that's
the week
right.
before?
I could have you on once a week if you want to make the contract.
Hey.
It's going to cost us much, though, isn't it?
I'll sign on the dotted line.
You know, we pay a lot around
yeah.
here.
If we get to talk about school and the arts and everything, Jim, I am A-okay.
Hey, we've talked about Calvary starting up Calvary Elementary and you're doing pre-K through second grade, but we haven't really talked too much in detail about the specifics. So last time we were together, you talked a little bit about integrated learning, and I want parents to understand what that is.
Yeah, well, integrated learning is really where you bring together a variety of subjects or topics and you introduce them to students in unique and creative ways. So students will be engage with various experiences and be given various skills. And really the goal is to really help students think higher order thinking. You know, it's one thing to say, you know, America was founded or we became a country in 1776 or, you know,
right.
and that. But it's another thing to think critically about it. Everything that led up, the reasons why, to analyze it, to assess it. And then even more so to practically apply some of the things that we've learned to our life. So integrated learning really takes a variety of subjects or topics and introduces them to students, and hopefully they will think, you know, deeper thoughts about them.
I know, I remember history, for example, when I went to public school and it was just a bunch of memorization. Nobody told us why we needed to know that, how that would apply to our daily lives today, and actually all of it does apply, but you have to be taught how it applies.
Yeah, and that's part of the goal of integrated learning is, you know, you're just not learning facts. It's not just understanding a bunch of facts, but it's hopefully engaging people with real life situations and how those facts influence and affect you. So, you know, we talk about history, and history is usually picked on a lot because, you know, people will roll their eyes and say, oh, it was just a bunch of dates and boring stuff. And I would step back and say, well, maybe the history teacher should have spent a little bit more time applying and showing how these facts and dates apply to the person and get them excited and draw parallels to the day and age in which we live. But that doesn't always happen.
No, it doesn't. In academic circles, is there a foundation for this type of learning, or is this just a concept Brian Nixon made?
No, I didn't come up with this. Yeah, there really is. I mean, good education, classical education has always wanted to integrate, has always wanted to bring a variety of subjects and themes together in order for students to think deeply about them. But within the last, let's say, 50 to 100 years, there's really two educational researchers that have done a lot of work in this area. The first is a fellow by the name of Benjamin Bloom. And anyone connected to education knows what's called the Bloom's taxonomy. And the Bloom's taxonomy is normally given via a triangle. So our listeners, though they can't see,
they know what a triangle is.
They know what a triangle is. At the bottom of this layer of a layered triangle, you would get basic knowledge, the facts. And that's where you can start things with. But Bloom's would say you don't stop there. You go from knowledge and then you go to comprehension, application, analysis, synthesis, and at the very top, evaluation. What does it mean? How does it apply? What am I supposed to think through this? So what Benjamin Bloom was trying to do is he was saying, teachers, you need to get beyond just the facts, the dates, if you will, in history, and allow the students to evaluate and analyze and begin to synthesize together all these different, you know, concepts and subjects and see how they interrelate. And so Benjamin Bloom is very, very popular. So he's the first guy. The second guy who's done amazing amount of research in education is a fellow by the name of Howard Gardner. And Howard Gardner developed a rubric, a way to measure people's learning intelligences, not by the traditional IQ. That's kind of done away with now. But he coined what is called multiple intelligences. So when I was in the teacher program at Chapman University there in California, we learned that there were seven, you know, intelligences. And every human being on planet Earth has a strength in one of these seven. And the seven at the time were logical, mathematical, linguistic, intrapersonal, musical and visual, spatial, and then body kinesthetic. And at that point, we thought, okay, those are the seven. Well, after further research, much more study, much more looking, Howard Gardner and his team of researchers said, well, no, there's actually two other ways. And I'm sure somewhere in the future, they're going to say there's more. But they said there's the naturalist, and then there's the, what they call existential, but we would call it the spiritual. You know, Howard Gardner, to my knowledge, he's not a believer. And I don't even know if Benjamin Bloom was. So they didn't necessarily have a Christian worldview, but they were, you know, researchers, scientists, if you will, studying how the human brain works. But Howard Gardner, I think, really, really helped move education along in that old matrix of the IQ test. You know, you didn't score very high on the IQ test, therefore you're not intelligent. Howard Gardner said, that's not true. You may be intelligent in a particular field, and you may excel in that field, but you may struggle in other fields. So Howard Gardner changed the game of education in that he said people can have intelligences in different ways. So when I took the test, and by the way, you could take this test for free. It's there's a lot of multiple intelligence tests online. But when I took it, my strengths were musical and linguistic. So those were my two strengths. And then normally someone would say, well, you're a musical linguistic guy. You should probably be in music, or you should talk for a living, or something else of that nature. But, you know, a little bit further down, there was the logical, mathematical, and everyone has these strengths. And so the key of what Gardner would say, and what Bloom's also said, is you need to tap into all the different areas and be challenged by some, and really revel in others, those that you're good at, but allow them to basically talk with one another to expand your educational palette. So Benjamin Bloom and Howard Gardner are really the two architects, if you will, of these integrated learning and making sure that we are learning a variety of things and analyzing and assessing and evaluating them and using the different strengths we have to learn about the world in which we live.
How is a parent listening to Brian Nixon right now going to say, gee, this really sounds good, compare it to what you might get at a public school?
Well, you know, there are some great public schools out there that most educational programs, college programs around the country will teach both Benjamin Bloom and Howard Gardner. But I think really it comes down to how it's applied and how it's stressed. Now, a lot of it within the public realm, they're strapped by a lot of different things, socioeconomic factors, divisions of politics and so on and so forth. So there's all this red tape that the educators in the public realm have to get through in order to apply these things. So I would say most great teachers in public education and in private education want to integrate these, but a lot of times there's a lot more baggage, if you will, within public education. Private education, of course, there's a less baggage, less red tape, so we're able to do things a little bit more quicker. And we've talked in past programs about, you know, our philosophy at Calvary of being at a paideia school, and it's an integrated school. But I think when the rubber meets the road for a parent who's saying, okay, what does it look like? I'm just going to use what I do with the kids to give you an example of an integrated lesson. So I go into the lower elementary kids, you know, kindergarten, first, second grade kids, and I prepare a lesson, and I use music to do it. So I would call it an integrated music lesson. So the kids are singing songs like you would expect, but it's very kinetic. It's very hands-on singing. But at the same time, I teach them the bones of the body through the songs. I teach them Spanish. I'm teaching them sign language. And I'm introducing different instruments, all within 15, 20 minutes. So parents are always pretty shocked. And again, they'll come in and go, wow, you just put all of that within 10, 15 minutes. And I go, yeah, because I'm a seasoned, experienced teacher. I've been doing it my entire adult life teaching. So I know how to do it. But a well-wrought lesson from an integrated learning perspective would have all of these facets there. It would bring in all of these things. So comparing it to, let's say, Howard Gardner's, you know, you would have the bodily kinetic, in that the body kinetic, the kids are moving around. You would have the musical, in that they're singing and learning songs. You would have the linguistic, in that I'm teaching them, you know, the words to the songs, but also sign language and Spanish. You would also have the logical mathematical, because there's patterns, there's beats in music. You would have the visual, spatial aspects in learning about the instruments and everything else. So an integrated lesson really is a full orbed, and it moves fast, and it's packed.
I have five children. It's hard for me to remember when they were elementary school. But one of the things I do remember is that I used to not drop them off at the drop-off. I used to like to park in the parking lot, mm-hmm. walk my kids in, because as soon as they got to a certain place where they could see the playground, we always got there a little early in the morning, they'd sprint and go be with their friends. And I had great joy in watching them interact with the kids and wanting to be there with them. And I think that was really a special thing. Is that the kind of atmosphere you have set up?
Yeah, because one of the things is a whole child school, you know, we follow the model of Jesus. Jesus grew in wisdom, stature, favor with God, favor with man. So wisdom obviously is academic. Stature is the physical aspect. The favor with God's the spiritual aspect. And favor with man's the social aspect. And we cannot forget that aspect. You know, human beings were created as social beings. We need each other. We thrive. Even if you're very, you know, inward, you're not an extrovert, you're an introvert, you still like some interaction with some people. So the social component of schools is very, very important. And part of integrated learning is to draw out the introverts and maybe even tone down the extroverts and allow everyone to have a play, you know, fair playing field together. So it really is a way that all kids should be learning. And here's the thing. You know, I just had a meeting today with our elementary principal, Bernadette Schanenberger. And we were talking about, once we mandate instruments, what instruments should we be learning? And everyone's going to say, well, wow, you mean you're going to require my kid to learn? And we're going, yeah, learn an instrument. Because not only is music fun, but it has cognitive development. Research after research says people who play and are into music have higher ability in other areas. So music is a very important facet. We're not looking that the person become a concert musician, but that music is integrated in what they're doing. So, you know, we were talking about, you know, keyboard, mandolin, a woodwind instrument, and all of this integration really helps students grow as students, but it's also social. They get to play together, if you will.
We're going to talk more about the integration of music and specifically some things that you've innovated in your own lessons that you teach. But before we do that, tell the parents that are listening how they can register or apply online for Calvary Elementary.
You would just go to Calvary Elementary, either the elementary website or Calvary preschool website. And you will see a online button that says register or apply. You click that and you could do it all online.
That's fantastic. We'll be back with Dr. Brian Nixon right after these messages.
Calvary Church Elementary is now accepting applications for the 2022 school year. Join our growing community of families that value Christian education with a loving emphasis on whole child instruction, educating the student academically, physically, spiritually, and socially. Learn about our biblical form of instruction known as Paideia. For more information and online applications, go to calvarychurchelementary.com or call 338-4848. 338-4848.
For 45 years, Hope Christian School has been helping students explore God's world and discovering their place in it. From preschool through high school, Hope offers advanced academics, championship athletics, and comprehensive arts program, all founded on non-denominational Christian worldview. Applications are now being accepted for the 2022-23 school year. Learn more at hopechristianschool.org and our Facebook and Instagram pages.
On KLYT, this is ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
We're back with Dr. Brian Nixon. He oversees education and publishing for Calvary Church, and we're talking about Calvary Elementary, which is pre-K through second grade right now, and you're adding a third grade.
We'll add a third grade, and then we'll add a fourth, and we'll add a fifth. And you know, going back to the music, once we hit fourth grade, there will be a required instrument. Every kid will be playing an instrument. So this isn't just band. This isn't an after-school program. This is an integrated where kids will pull out an instrument and they will play it. But it will be integrated. So again, we're not looking for the mastery of an instrument, and you wouldn't at fourth grade, but it's a way to introduce music and use it as a springboard to talk about other
subjects. But Brian, you and I both know you're going to find those protégés.
Exactly. And that's part of what education is. You know, going back to Howard Gardner, you know, there may be a very, very gifted musical student, and that student will find that that's where their gifting is, and bada boom, they're rising, just like in some schools that really stress a great sports program. So let's say Hope Christian School. They have some of the best sports programs in the state. And so kids who have a strong body kinesthetic, you know, strength or intelligence, they're going to rise to the cream crop. So there's going to be a great outlet for them.
You know, you've just reworded dribbling a basketball to body kinesthetic. I like that.
Yeah. You know, what's interesting is when you do some research into what makes a great athlete, you're going to find that they have a high level or a high intelligence in body kinesthetic and, interestingly enough, a visual spatial. So when you find someone with a high level of visual spatial connected to a high level of body kinesthetic, you will usually have a great athlete. Because what the visual spatial does, let's just take it from a quarterback standpoint. He's able to see the layout of the playing field, and he knows, I could put this right there. So he has the body kinetic ability to throw that football, but his spatial sense of the field could nail it right there. And that's true with basketball. That's true with baseball. So fine athletes, obviously, we use it. Well, of course, they're going to have bodily kinetic intelligence. But it's more than that. It's also the visual spatial components as well that allows them to assess all of this. And the great athletes will even have their extroverts, because they could become a leader on the field as well.
I want to go back to what you were talking about, Benjamin Bloom's taxonomy, mm-hmm. and you shaped it like a triangle. And I want to go to the peak of that triangle, which you said was evaluation. And here's something that I know is true in the pulpit of most Christian churches. When somebody says to you, this is what the Bible says, they also teach you, please don't believe me. Mm-hmm. Go check it out for yourself. Right. Go read the Bible and see if it says what we say it says.
Right. Good churches. Yeah.
And you are teaching kids that critical thinking piece.
That's exactly right. And you nailed it with those two words, critical thinking. And that is essential to any full-orbed or integrated level. And why evaluation is at the top? Because essentially when you get to that top point, you can look at everything that's went on below and begin to evaluate it. Begin to understand its pros, its cons, its strengths, its weaknesses, if you're going to throw it out or keep it. So evaluation really is, there's a moral aspect to evaluation. There's a value to it where you're going, boy, what I just learned was really good, or I don't know about that. So you have to have a compass, if you will, to evaluate everything. So again, that's why I would say in Christian education, we're giving them a moral compass in that there's a spiritual foundation. Whereas a lot in public schools, I think one of the handicaps of public schools is that they're unable to really give a true spiritual education because rightfully so, they can't just pick one.
Yeah, I mean, faith. And they're prohibited
right,
from
exactly.
choosing one. Yeah.
And that's why someone like Howard Gardner would say, well, it's the existential. You know, it's this more, a deeper level, what we would call spiritual. So you don't teach spirituality. You teach, you know, them to existentially experience the world.
Let's talk about Brian Nixon's personal lessons that you design. Music is really a big part and an important mm-hmm. part. Is that done for a reason?
Yeah. I mean, as I pointed out before our break, you know, an integrated lesson that I would give would have music integrated with it because it's just such a great way. But and that's for a couple of reasons. One, music really does help students memorize and remember things. You know, we think of the alphabet. You know, you could go ABC, but we could go ABCD, yep. and we could do that with the states, the presidents. Everything has a song. Music will help us remember. So just on that basic understanding level of, we said with Bloom's taxonomy, that very foundational facts, you know, music can help you remember that. But music also has naturally innate movement. You know, there's a beat, if you will, to music. So there's a kinetic element to that, which also has a mathematical element. There's the patterns, there's numbers, there's sequencing. All of this is part of it. And then more on a philosophical side, you know, music plays an important role within paideia, which is the form we have, or more broadly, a classical thing. So in early childhood education in classical circles, you stress piety or, you know, biblical understanding, movement, and music. Movement would be PE, what we would say. And all three of these are foundational elements for early childhood education. The kid in the Christian context needs to learn about God. They need to be using their body physically, PE, what we would call a movement. And then music is a way to tap into that more artistic sensibility. Now, of course, you're teaching all the other things as well, but music is a medium in order to accomplish these other things.
Well, let's talk a little bit more practicality as one trained in physical education. And, you know, I was just an athlete. I went through every iteration that
right.
you could think of, but I also did some things that weren't particularly healthy. Like, I remember we wore Chuck Taylor canvas basketball shoes for most of my high school career, which were absolutely of no support. So
right.
today's children have the benefit of amazing athletic training techniques, care, you know, everything from medicine to whatever. And let's talk about physical education.
Yeah, because you're good at it, Jim. I mean, you not only you trained in that and you've taught, coach, you were a UNM basketball player, you know, physical education, sports are important. In contrary to what a lot of people think about education, who kind of, I'll hear with some people, they'll put down sports. Oh, you know, sports, blah, blah, we're just about the academics. And I would say, well, that's not a biblical worldview. A biblical worldview has, they're on equal par. Wisdom, stature, your physical body, favor with God, favor with man. One's not above. The goal is to keep them balanced and making sure one doesn't usurp the other one. But the physical body is incredibly important. So if we, you know, at our school, and what I would encourage any Christian education to do, say, you know, the child is to grow in stature. They're to grow physically. So I think I would start with just the biblical basis is, you know, the body is a gift from God to be governed by God's principles. And then, you know, and then I would move on to say, okay, it's a gift from God and we're to care for it. We're to care for our body physically. Well, what does that mean? Well, I in a newsletter and I've told, parents and teachers throughout the years, I usually break it down to four E's. The first E is to eat right. You know, and contrary to what a lot of people think, you know, eating for God's glory is an important thing. It encompasses eating that which is good and healthy for your body. Why? Because you're caring for your body as a gift from God. So eating right.
You're taking care of the temple.
That's exactly right. Second E is exercise. Paul would even say that physical training is of value. He alludes to that in 1 Timothy 4:8 thing. But current research would suggest that exercise is incredibly important for your body. They're even saying that we need 150 minutes per week of moderate exercise to keep this temple, this body, going and working right. So God made the body, obviously, to be active, and part of that activity is exercise. So we eat right, we exercise. The third area, I would say, for a healthy lifestyle, and this is an interesting one, is empathize. And this moves out from the physical body, if you will, to the mental state. And empathize is to the ability to sympathize and understand other people. So it deals with your attitude. And there's really two types of empathy. There's cognitive and affective empathy. So cognitive empathy is the ability to identify with others' think and feel. So, Jim, boy, I see what you're saying. I get it. Whereas effective empathy is the ability to respond appropriately. So if you come to me and you say, Brian, I've had a bad day, and if I blow you off and go, Jim, we all have bad days. So what? Get out of here. That's not good empathy. Yeah, that's not good effective empathy. Good effective empathy is, man, Jim, I'm sorry to hear that. You know, as Christians, how can I pray for you? What can I do for you? But what happens is when we learn to empathize with people, we learn how to respond appropriately. And this translates biblically that we're showing love, compassion, kindness, and really allowing God to work in our lives. And that changes our attitude. So eat right, exercise, empathize. And then the fourth, again, I think is connected to our attitude, is to enjoy. Mm-hmm. You know, we've talked about this many, many times, you know, in our conversations, Jim, about, you know, Tilt, the book I wrote, you know, just getting out there and enjoying culture. You know, enjoy what God has given to you. You know, your outlook will help sharpen your inlook. That's why I always like to say, you know, how you view things will sharpen your inlook, how you feel about yourself. So the way you view life will influence the way you value life. So eat right, exercise, empathize, and enjoy. And those will help you grow in stature.
If you are interested in Calvary Elementary School, you can call 505-338-4848 or go just Google Calvary Elementary and it'll take you right to calvarychurchelementary.com. Thank you, Brian.
Thank you, Jim.
ABQ Connect with Jim Williams is a production of KLYT. The views expressed on ABQ Connect do not necessarily reflect the views of staff or management at KLYT. If you missed any or part of today's show, the podcast can be found at abqconnect.online.